Welcome to the Sunday Morning Meeting Podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Martin Stringer.
Okay, I hope you all feel greeted in some way. If you don't, come and see me afterwards and just let me know who it was that didn't greet you, and we'll sort it out. I'll get Peter to sort them out. I've got a bit of a sort of a boom or something happening up here. I don't know what it is. My voice doesn't normally do that. Depends where I am, perhaps. Okay, if you've got a Bible, please can you turn to Psalm 139. Now, last week, you remember, Pastor Paul, and he's away, you may have gathered, that's why I'm here. I hope he's having a rest. That's what we're praying for, that he and Kate have a really well-earned rest and come back totally refreshed next week. He was talking about not being like Jesus was, but being like Jesus is now. Do you remember? Those of you who were here last week. If you don't remember, then I would suggest you ask for the CD and get the CD. Right, Psalm 139. Now, I thought, oh Lord, this is a strange psalm to be sort of looking at. I mean, I like it. It's a brilliant psalm. I just thought, well, it isn't really in the flow of what you've been saying. But God says, well, actually it is, and you need to be speaking about it. So here I am. I'm going to speak about it. Okay, so it's better to do what God says than not and try and find something else, and you'll sit there sort of, when's it going to finish, you know? Okay. Now then, I'm going to sort of take it bit by bit, okay? Lord, now, using the Amplified, for those of you who've got any other version, I won't read every bit of the Amplified or we'll be here till 2 o'clock, but I will read the bits that I think are relevant to what God is wanting to say this morning. Oh Lord, you have searched me thoroughly and have known me. You know when I sit down, you know when I get up, and you understand and know all my thoughts, even from a distance. You sift and search out my path and my lying down, and you are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but Lord, you know it altogether. That is a pretty amazing statement. David, who this man was about, was a man who came from looking after sheep. He was the youngest of a number of sons. He was a good lad. He knew God. He had an experience of God, an experience with God. And perhaps he learned that while he was looking after sheep. He probably did, actually. Anyway, God put his hand on him. As God does, God is quite able to put his hand on anyone in this room, so I want you. In fact, he has done. He wouldn't be here, would you? So all of you, God has put his hand on at some time in your life and said, I want you. I have something for you to do. Something for you to do. David wrote this because he knew God. Now we think under the New Testament, we know God. They knew God under the Old Testament too, under the Old Covenant. Didn't have the same sense of knowledge of God as we do, the same revelation. But David was a man anointed by the Spirit. So when I thought about this, I thought, okay, all right, let's see where this goes. God knows you and me, warts and all. He really does. He knows absolutely everything about you and me. There isn't anything that you might think in your thoughts, in your heart, in any part of you. Actually, God doesn't know about that. You're wrong. He does. There are no surprises where you and I are concerned for God. He's not going to look at you one day and think, oh my goodness me, I didn't see that before. You're all right. He knows already. Whatever it was, whatever it is, he knows. You see, he knows us with our mask removed. Now, I would say, and I don't mean this unkindly, so please don't take me wrong, but for all of us, and I include myself in this, we don't really know each other in this church because all of us wear a mask. As I said, I include myself in that. I've often said this before. If I come up to one of you, those I know better than some others, and say to you, how are you doing? You say, oh, I'm fine, thank you, Pastor Martin. And I know jolly well often you're not. You know, down in here, I think, oh, come on, give us a break. You're not telling me the truth. You know, you're not telling me the truth. God is wanting us as a people to walk without a mask.
Yes, that's right.
You know, are you brave enough to do it? Are you brave enough to let God strip the mask off? You know, David said, search me. That's why he was asking God to search him. He didn't want to walk with a mask or try and put a mask on in front of God because it doesn't work. You know, we try and put a mask and a front up to God. Boy, isn't it hard work trying to walk the Christian life, eh? It just doesn't work at all. You know, we're sort of trying to present God with something he already knows about anyway. And we're trying to sort of make it seem as though we're different to what we actually are. And we're not. God just sees the real you, what he made, what he created, what he breathed into being, what he brought and spoke into being. You were spoken into being. You weren't a mistake or an accident or anything like that. God actually spoke you into being way back, even before Adam was created. We'll come to that in a minute. That's a long time ago, isn't it? You are wanted. Not like these funny posters you see with the sort of soldier standing up there with a moustache and everything. Your country needs you. It's not that. God wants you because he loves you.
Yes, that's right.
You know? In fact, it's loved. Past tense, present tense, future tense. I have loved you, says the Lord. God loved you and me right from the very beginning of time because he saw you right from the very beginning of time. Warts and all, he saw you. He saw where you would be. He saw the life you would live. He saw the messes we would get into. He saw all of it. And he knew, and he still loved you and loved me. That's awesome, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's awesome. You know, we've been singing this morning, how great is our God? I mean, goodness me, how great he is. I mean, if we said, you know, if we got made it a bit personal and said, probably most of us would not have wanted to know each other before we were Christians very much. And sometimes, even afterwards, we still really don't always want to know each other. We just keep a distance. You find that out. You know, when your life is spiritually perhaps not where it should be, and your walk with the Lord has gone a bit haywire, people tend to avoid you, or you avoid them. You withdraw. And you think, no, I'm all right. I'm fine, really. It's them. It's not me. I'm just speaking from personal experience, because that's the way I work. And God's dealing with it. You're all right. But that's what I tend to do. You just withdraw into yourself. I think, well, everything's all right. I'm talking with the Lord and the Lord's talking with me. But in actual fact, the mask has come back. And God is saying, Martin, I see behind that. I see what's going on inside. You know, when you're hurt, I see it. I feel it. God feels what goes on in here. You know, when we are screwing our lives up and some of us can say, yeah, I've done that big time. God is saying, I know. I was there. I didn't back off. I didn't take my hand away from you and say, I'm not going to that place with you. You know, at the risk of somebody saying something to me afterwards, I'm going to say it anyway, and whether you like it or not. When I first became a Christian many years ago now, many, many years ago, there was a lot of rules and regulations around. Lots of them. You mustn't do this because you're a Christian. You mustn't do that because you're a Christian. You mustn't do this because you're a Christian. You shouldn't do that because you're a Christian. You mustn't go in there because you're a Christian. You shouldn't drink all these other things because you're a Christian. I thought, well, that's funny. My Bible doesn't actually say anything much about that, but because I was a new Christian, I believed it. And immediately what came onto me was a heaviness. And the Christian life became boring. Absolutely, totally boring. Because it had just pushed Jesus to one side and given me a set of rules in his place. And what was the cross about if it wasn't to get rid of the set of rules and put Jesus in the place? Yeah? So, there's the first place we're going. God knows you, warts and all. And if you haven't got warts, don't mind. He's dealt with them, that's great. But they're pretty unsightly things, aren't they? Sometimes that's why we have masks. Because of the warts. We try to hide them. But you know, if I know you and you know me and we're really in friendship relationship with each other, that's what God is looking for in this church, is friendship relationship. Many of us are friends, small f, inverted commas, but we're not friends, capital F, as in the way Jesus spoke about. No longer do I call you servants, but friends. Because a servant doesn't know what his master's doing. But I've called you friends because I've made everything known of the Father to you. Somewhere in John 14 or somewhere in there. Okay. All right. Let's move on a bit from there. Verses 5 and 6. You have beset me. Come on, Claire. This is your bit now. Now then, I want to read it first. You have beset me and shut me in behind and before, and you have laid your hand on me. In other words, you have totally surrounded me and you've put your hand on my life. Your knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high above me. I cannot reach it. I had a bit of a revelation when I was just going through this psalm. I mean, some of it, I'm sure, probably was for me. But, you know, if it is, that's great because it's for you as well. Because we're part of one body. Yeah. So what I receive, you receive. And you need to receive. And what you guys receive, I need. And Pastor Paul needs to receive too. So don't just think, you know, if we stand up the front or get on with sort of other stuff, you know, leading and whatever, that we don't need to hear what God is saying through you. Certainly do. Certainly do, you know. Hey, we're the body too. We're not sort of two separate bits parked out here somewhere. We're part of you. We're part of you. We need to hear. We need to hear. Okay, Claire, come and do your bit, please. These are the choices, you see. This is the person, going back to the beginning, this is the person with the mask, okay? But bear in mind those two verses I've just read, that you hedge me in. I think it says in your version, probably, hedge me in. Here it says you beset me behind and in front and all around, and all these other words the Amplified uses that I need a dictionary to understand. Okay, right. Come on. You've got to do this and get it right. There's no lunch if you don't get it right. Probably me no lunch if he doesn't get it right. Okay, come on. Okay. Keep moving, darling. Keep moving. This is all being recorded, so keep going. Come on. Okay, that's the mask. Remember what I said about the mask. Okay. That's you beset me behind and before. You know, when we're walking with a mask and walking in unreality, God isn't able to do that. The thing God wants to do more than anything else with us is to do that. Beset you behind and before. Now, it may be new to some of you who are visiting. And by the way, if you're a visitor this morning, I do beg my pardon. You're very welcome. It's good to see you, okay? Whoever you are, it's really great to see you. And make sure, folk, that we speak to you afterwards. God wants to be you to be hedged in by him, boxed in by him. Not by stuff, not by life, not by your job, not by being up here, not by doing anything of ministry, just by him. That's enough, actually. That's enough. You know, it's not about a denomination. It's not about the church. It's about Jesus. Jesus wants to hedge me and you in, behind, in front, and to the side. You see, that's a sort of illustration, really, of saying you are in Christ. But you can choose whether you walk in Christ. We can choose, I'll make it plural, whether we walk in Christ Jesus or whether we walk outside of him. You know, the putting out the arm to catch the attention and it being pushed away is walking outside. But the embrace is, I choose to walk inside. I choose to walk in Christ. I choose to walk in love with him. I choose to walk in love with these two brothers here. I choose to walk in love with you guys, as many of you I could see here. I choose to walk in love with you. Okay. What is God? Our strong tower. What happens to the strong tower? What do the righteous do? Blah, 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 blah. Can we have that again? From where I was, that was just what it sounded like. Okay, the strong tower. What do the righteous do? Yes, and what? Yes, amen. Amen. That's it. That was the demonstration of the strong tower with the arms of God around you this morning. That might not be your experience. You might say, that's actually not real for me. It can be this morning. That can all change in an instant this morning. We'll go on. We'll go on. You know, God turns us around, doesn't he? When we come to him, he actually turns us around. We come from one direction. He turns us around, repentance it's called, and we go off in his direction. We come from the world's direction, we go off in his direction. That's what David's saying. You've beset me and shut me in behind and before. You've laid your hand upon me. God has no favourites, but he has great favour. And the favour of God rests on you this morning. Now, who you are, you might even not believe in God. You might be here this morning because you're doing somebody a favor by turning up. I just want to tell you, the favor of God is actually resting on you this morning to bring you to know Jesus. And now you're in this place, it's going to happen. I prophesy over you now, you are going to come to Jesus Christ. You will have a choice, but you will come. You will come. Okay, let's move on a bit. Verses 7 to 10. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in hell, you're there. If I take the wings of the morning or dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there, your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. Rather sounds as though you can't get away from God, doesn't it? Really. You know, we try. We try and go in the dark places. We try and pull away. We think, oh, the worship in the church is just getting too much. I can't cope with this anymore. The church is going too fast. I'm saying now things that I have had said to me recently. This is not a criticism. This is just so that you see what God is doing here. Transition is a funny thing. A very funny thing. Spiritually, it makes you feel as though you're in a total wilderness and God has disappeared. You think, what's going on? I don't fit anymore in this place. You guys who've moved up here from other places will have felt that before God started to move you out. I mean, Mark from Horsham, you probably thought, before God spoke to you about it, you probably thought, what's going on here? I don't feel a part of this. You become more and more morbid distant. Now then, that can also happen in this situation because of the direction God is moving. You can think, well, I'm not a part of this anymore. I must be missing it because it's just not happening the way it did. It never will happen the way it did because God is always moving forwards and it will always be happening the way it is now. Okay? It cannot ever be the way it was. After this morning, it cannot ever be again the way it was this morning. The worship, the encounter with God will not be the same again as it was this morning. Thank goodness, says Lottie. It was great. It was great. Seriously, be encouraged. It was great. It's awesome. David knew from experience, because David was a bright guy, really. He actually managed to put a bloke out to get killed so that he could have his wife and sleep with her. Now, that's the sort of bloke God chose. And those are the sort of people God actually looks out for and finds and chooses and brings to himself. I mean, not everybody's been down quite as dramatic a route as that. But David did, and God chose him quite deliberately and put him in the line of Jesus. Isn't that awesome? A man who could do something as vile as that, setting up a bloke in his army who was quite innocent, sending him out into battle, knowing he'd get killed, so that David could sleep with his wife. I mean, if you read that in the paper, or if you knew somebody who did something like that, you wouldn't want anything to do with them, would you? So David says, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I run from you? How can I get away from you? And God just says, you can't. I'm here. Wherever you go, I'm the God who is there. Remember, we had that word some time back now. I am the God who is there. And he is. Wherever you go, God is there. If you go into the nightclub, God is there. You go to the cinema, God is there. You go in the pub, God is there. And dare I say it, and it wouldn't happen in here, if ever you had been into a brothel, God is there. Why shouldn't he be? Why shouldn't he be? Is God choosy about where he goes? Where did Jesus go? With the prostitutes, the tax collectors, and the sinners. Where was he to be found eating food with the same people? That's a pretty awesome God, and that's a pretty amazing love to me. Because thankfully my life never quite got as far as that, but there are many, many thousands of people whose lives hit rock bottom in every respect, and they just are covered in shame, covered in guilt, and they can't get up under the weight of it. But God redeemed David. He forgave him. There is forgiveness this morning for whatever situation you find yourself in here, whoever you are. God is saying to you, wherever you have been, I was there for you. You didn't know. If you'd cried out, I'd have answered you in an instant. But wherever you have been, I was there. You see, people say God isn't here. I can't feel God. It isn't about feeling God. I mean, it's great to feel the presence of God. I love to feel the presence of God. But God is a God of promise, you know, and he won't break what he says. If he says, go into all the world and preach the gospel, then go into all the world and preach the gospel. If he says, these signs shall follow those who believe, they'll speak with new tongues, they'll cast out devils, the sick will be healed, then they will. We've seen it. We're seeing it. We're in a move of God in this church where we're beginning to see an increase of the signs and wonders that follow preaching the gospel. So I'm not expecting anything less this morning. Okay? What happens then? David backslid because of his Bathsheba thing. Sin brings darkness. He says in here, verse 11, surely I say darkness shall cover me and the night shall be the only light about me. Even the darkness hides nothing from you. It's saying John chapter 1, I think, the light shone in the darkness. And the darkness could not overcome it. It could not. There are no shadows around God. There are no shadows. When the presence of Jesus is, there are no shadows. Because there's no darkness. You know, and in this place this morning, irrespective of where you and I are in our relationship with him, there are no shadows. There is only light. There is only light. Pure, pure, cleansing light. Okay, let's move on a bit further. Verse 13. This is absolutely incredible. For you did form my inward parts. You did knit me together in my mother's womb. I will confess and praise you, for you are fearful and wonderful. And for the awful wonder of my birth, not awful in sort of ugh, but awful in terms of awesome. Wonder of my birth. Wonderfully your works, and that my inner self knows well. My frame wasn't hidden from you when I was being formed in secret and intricately wrought in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance, and in your book all the days of my life were written before ever they took shape, when there was yet actually none of them. That is incredible. That is an amazing revelation for a man who didn't know the Lord in the way we do. God gave him that revelation. But it's amazing revelation for you and me too. A personal revelation that came to me yesterday, and it made me cry actually. The Lord just said to me, Martin, I wanted you born. I wanted you born. And that's what that is saying. You know, that's what David is actually seeing in that. You form my inward parts. I'll praise you. My frame wasn't hidden from you when I was being hidden. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. And in your book, all the days of my life were written before they ever took shape. In other words, when I was still dust in the ground, you knew me. You saw me. You saw the plan. You saw the purpose for my life. Good, bad, and indifferent. You saw it all. Now, God doesn't give bad things. But bad things happen to good people. We know that. That happens. That's life. That's part of the Christian life. Bad things will happen because we have an enemy who doesn't like you. Full stop. Or me. That's just tough. Hard luck, isn't it? What do we do with him? Tramp him under our feet. God wanted you born. You might think, from whatever your background, I was a mistake. No, wasn't a mistake. You might say, well, I don't know my natural parents. I don't, neither do I. Some of you have heard me say that before. I know I'm not a mistake. Some of you might have said, well, you know, I was a result of a one-night stand. God wanted you. God wanted you born. It doesn't matter who you are this morning. God purposed in his heart you would be born. Right from before the foundation of the earth. Adam, how do you think Adam arrived? Because God purposed in his heart to have Adam and Eve. From the dust of the ground. It says the same thing here. Even in the secret places of the earth, God wanted you then. And he has waited ever since for you to come to a place where you were born, you could grow up and you could communicate and have a relationship with him. And you are. That's why you're here. Well, some of the reason you're here anyway. Isn't that awesome? Really? That in the same breath as he wanted Adam created and Eve created, he wanted us. Yeah. Absolutely amazing. Absolutely amazing. Right. He says, 17, verse 17. How precious are your thoughts to me, O God? How vast is the sum of them? If I could count them, they would be more in number than the sand. And when I awoke, I would still be with you. Could I count to the end, it actually says. If I could count all those grains of sand, I would still be with you. You know, God wouldn't just wander off and think, oh, well, I'll leave him counting, I'll go and do something else. It's effectively what he's saying. God is saying, whatever you do, I'm going to be with you. Wherever you go, I'm going to be with you. Yeah, there are places maybe we perhaps at times should not go, but God is still there. He's not standing outside the door saying, oh, can't go in there. But if your heart is after God, wherever you go, he goes. You know, I've heard many times, and don't doubt others of you have too, of people who have deliberately gone into nightclubs, Christians who've deliberately gone into nightclubs and transformed it. As a net result, they've been thrown out because people have started getting saved in there, and the managers have seen their income dropping because people have decided, actually, I don't want to be in here. I just want to, you know, get this whole new life I've got and let other people know about it. So it's been very positive in one way, very negative in another. Okay. Now then, Jeremiah 29, 11 to 14 says this. You'll know it, those of you who've been to Bible college. Or if you haven't been to Bible college, you'll probably know it as well. These are God's thoughts. What does God say about this? He's just said, you know, all your thoughts towards me are amazing. God says this to you and to those of you here who don't even know the Lord or haven't even got a lot of idea, perhaps what I'm talking about this morning. This is what God says to you this morning. For I know the thoughts and plans that I have for you, says the Lord. Thoughts and plans for good and peace, and not for evil, to give you hope in your final outcome. Then you will call upon me, and you will come and pray to me, and I will hear and heed you. Then you will seek me, require me as a vital necessity, and you will find me when you search for me with all your heart, and I will be found by you, says the Lord. I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will release you from captivity. Amen. Now, there's the rest of that there. I'm not going to read the rest of that because it actually related to the Jews who are in captivity in Babylon. But I believe that was a word for some of you this morning. God is saying, you seek me, you call on me, I will be found by you, I will hear you, and as you come to me, I'll release you from captivity. And that was what was going on earlier in the worship time this morning. God was releasing things that some of you, some of us, may even be me, I'll probably know later when I get home, have been held bound by this mask thing. Again, God is saying, I want to strip it off. I want to strip it off. Can you trust me to help you strip it off? Now, it isn't a matter of just coming to God and saying, well, God, take my mask off. God's actually going to say, no, you take it off. You know, there's always choice with God, isn't there? We have freedom of choice. So, depends how much we want to go overboard for the Lord, really. How much we want to just get right in there with everything he's doing, or we just want to sit on the edge and watch the others do it. You know, we can sit with our feet on the edge and just paddle around, can't we? But it's not the best place to be. That's Jeremiah 11:29, 11-14. Matthew 10. God says, don't worry. Just wanted to bring this into a New Testament context, really, in case you thought I was taking it all out the Old Testament. It was a different covenant. It's the same Spirit. It's the same God. It doesn't actually matter where it comes from because it's the truth. Matthew 10, verse 28, forwards. No, verse 29. Are not two little sparrows sold for a penny? And yet not one of them will fall to the ground without your father's leave and notice. But even the very hair... Oh, yeah, okay. We'll get the funny jokes over. But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, then. You are of more value than many sparrows. You know, God is actually concerned more about you than a sparrow. Yet the example he's giving there is he knows when a sparrow dies. I mean, are you bothered if a sparrow dies? Well, you might say, oh, look, it's dead. Then you wouldn't think about it again. But are you going to go out looking for all the dead sparrows? I don't think so. But God knows about it. He's aware of it. And that's how much care and concern he has for us. And we forget that sometimes. You know, it's great to get in the worship, it's getting to the praise, to get into the presence of God. But sometimes, when rubber hits the road, which it will do tomorrow, because it's Monday, that wonderful day called Monday, I'm glad nobody's grimacing in here, because I'll probably call you out the front and ask you to explain why you're grimacing. No, I wouldn't do that. Monday, in the world's eyes, is, oh, crumbs, I've been out the night before, how are you feeling? Dreadful, I've got a real hangover, all this stuff. You know, people do that, that's their way of life. Okay, we can't condemn them, we've been there. Most of us probably have done it. Maybe occasionally we still do, but don't tell anybody. No, we don't. I don't, honest. I don't do that, do I? No. Now I'm in trouble, aren't I? She's laughing. Oh, dear. Now I'm in trouble. God is saying, don't worry. David didn't worry. You know, God forgave him to the extent with what he had done that he didn't worry. He knew God had forgiven him. That's an awesome thing. You know, we prayed that prayer earlier, didn't we? The Lord's Prayer. God just said to me, I want you to do that as a declaration this morning, not as just a nice prayer. It's a declaration. It's a powerful, powerful declaration. Jesus said, this is the way to pray. This is the way to do it. That is why we did it in the way we did. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. You know, we have to learn to forgive as well as be forgiven. We also have to learn to receive the forgiveness. You know, it's often easy, isn't it? You do something wrong, you upset somebody, or something happens. You go to the Lord, Lord, I'm sorry, I've sinned, I've done something wrong, I've blown it here, really blown it. Please forgive me. And God says, you're forgiven. End of story, that's it. And then you're going on 5 minutes later, oh God, I wish I hadn't done that, and I wish I hadn't had that row with my wife, and I wish I hadn't said those things that I said. And you're chewing over something, and God, will you forgive me? And he says, sorry. I said, God, will you forgive me? Sorry, forgive you what? Lord, you know I had that row. We had that row this morning, and I shouldn't have done, Lord. And I was sort of on my way to church, and I was preaching this morning. This isn't true. I was preaching this morning. I was preaching this just in case you were getting worried. And some of the pastoral team were about to rush out and minister to Claire. No, that wasn't happening. That didn't happen. But you get what I'm saying here. I hadn't received the forgiveness. If I've received it, what goes? The guilt goes. The shame goes. The sense of condemnation goes. The pressure goes. What comes in? Joy and peace. In fact, as I was just sort of meditating and chewing on this morning, I was sitting on the sofa and I just couldn't help laughing. I was laughing and tears are streaming down my face. I thought, this doesn't happen often. Lord, this is good. I'm enjoying this. You know, because there's freedom in Jesus. There is such awesome freedom. And that's what this is all about. David knew this freedom under the old covenant. So if he knew it under the old, can't we do something a lot better under the new in terms of getting rid of these masks and all this stuff that gets in the way? How are you, brother? Oh, I'm wonderful, thank you. You liar. Let's say it as it is. Let's say it as it is. I've been around most of you long enough to know I wouldn't actually say that to you to your face. So I wouldn't say it behind your back either. So I pray for you. And I hope you pray for me as well, if you got the same response from me. Okay, Matthew 11, 28 to 30. When I find it. Listen, if we live in that place where we're hemmed in behind and before, the Christian life is easy. It is not a struggle. It is not hard work. What did Jesus say? Matthew 11, 28. Come to me, all who labour and are heavy laden and overburdened. I will cause you to rest. I will ease and relieve and refresh your soul. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest. You will find rest for your soul. My yoke is good. It is not harsh, it's not hard, it's not sharp, it's not pressing, but it's comfortable, it's gracious. My burden is light and easy to be borne. Now, before you respond to this, I want you just to think before you respond to this. Is there anybody in the room who walks with the Lord like that 100% of the time? That's great. Goodness for that. Somebody's going to put their hand up and say, right, come on, we'll swap over. It's your turn now. You come tell the rest of us how you do it. But that is it. When the mask goes, the rest comes. You know? And God wants us to be a people who rest. He doesn't want us striving and struggling. And I mean, I just take the worship band as an example. You know, we've all been through in the worship band, those who lead and those who don't, the striving and struggling thing to try and get something to happen. Boy, is that hard work, isn't it, Mike? Real hard work, isn't it? Ask this man, he plays the guitar. It is hard work, and you come away from it and you think, what was that about then? But now, because of the direction the Lord has taken us in this last year or so, it is a joy. Yeah, there's hard work involved, there's a practice, you know, practicing involved, learning songs, learning music, learning all the stuff that goes with that and the practical things of it and setting all this up. But it's a joy, you know. These guys come in now on a Sunday, it's a joy, you know. Before it was hard work, so we had to hump all the PA gear. I mean, Mike's done it for about 25 years, I think, haven't you? Something like that. Oh, I was right, yeah, something like that. So he's well anointed in humping PA gear, but he's now relieved from it. But God is saying to you and to me today, come to me. I want you to come. That's the word. Come. Come. Just come. Come this morning. I'm going to pray for some of you in a minute. Come. Whatever your yoke is, whatever your burden is this morning, Jesus is saying, come. It may be the burden of guilt, burden of shame, burden of stuff that is just churning around and around and around inside you because you've never told anybody about it and you're ashamed to. Or you daren't because at the very worst, you might get arrested. Or something like that. Let's be real. These things happen, you know, and people come with stuff like that. Okay, just a couple more verses from the Bible I want to take. Philippians 4, 6 and 7. There we go. Same thing again. Don't fret or have any anxiety about anything. You know, I'm anxious when I'm trying to get stuff done myself. When the mask is on and I'm sort of in the pastor role and, oh gosh, I've got to see this person, I've got to see that person. Having said that, I'm not sure how many nights we have been in this week, if any. Have you seen me this week? Not much of it. No, not much. But no, seriously. You know, when we put our mask on, we start striving. Straight away, we start striving. Because that's just our natural mindset. That's the one we had when we came into the kingdom of God. God is saying, I want you to change the way you think. Came up this morning, didn't it? Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And God was breaking things in people's mindsets this morning. Stuff you've held on to, I've held on to for years and years. You're suddenly going to find, when you go out of this place and come into this week, you think, gosh, I'm not doing that anymore. God's broken it. You may not be aware of it now, but you are going to be through the week. You're going to find this stuff, you know, when we get back together again, you say, gosh, yeah, that's right, that's gone. I'm free of it, praise God. And it's going to be happening, and it'll be ongoing happening because God continues to break stuff. Okay, it's not just a one-off. It continues to go. Don't have anxiety about anything. Every circumstance, by prayer and definite requests, it says here. In other words, be specific. With thanksgiving, continue to make your wants known. Probably says needs in your version, says wants in the Amplified, to God. And God's peace shall be yours, which transcends, in other words, which overtakes or passes all understanding. The peace of God does pass all understanding, doesn't it? We try and ration stuff out in here when the pressure's on. You know, some of you guys with the working hours that you have to do at the moment, the pressure's on, you think, oh, God, you know, how am I going to cope with this? But you just take it to the Lord and the peace of God just comes. You think, okay, Lord, we can cope now. You're here. Your peace is just overtaking this anxiety, this pressure. It says here, it shall garrison and mount guard over your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. What an amazing way to put it. That's the peace of God for you today. As the mask comes off, God's peace, as I'm speaking it now, is bypassing your understanding, but it's mounting guard over your heart, over your mind. So a lot of you need to hear that today because you're in striving mode and you're worn out. And the Lord is saying, I want to refresh you this morning with my peace. Very pastoral word this, but I suppose that's fitting really, isn't it? Verses 13 and 19, same chapter. I have strength. Why did Paul say this? Because he didn't have a mask. I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. I'm ready for anything and equal to anything through him who infuses inner strength into me. I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. Isn't that awesome? I'm going to read that again. If you haven't got an Amplified Bible, you need to get one just for that verse. I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. Anybody say amen to that? Amen. Amen. Right. Most of us know it works, yeah? The Christian life works if we let it and do it God's way. It works, doesn't it? There's no problems. It's easy. Do it our way, then it falls apart. I am ready for anything and equal to anything through him who infuses inner strength into me. In Christ Jesus, I am ready for anything and equal to anything. In fact, I'm more than equal because God says I'm more than a conqueror. Yes. Not just a conqueror, I'm more than a conqueror. So are you. Yes. That is in Christ Jesus. You are more than a conqueror. Yes. It is not just a one-off. It is a lifestyle of walking as more than conquerors. And then there's people sitting there thinking, well, I don't do that. Neither do I. So let's just be honest again. Keep the mask off. Keep the mask off. God says what we are, we have to learn to walk in it. I'm putting the mask down, Lord. You're saying I'm more than a conqueror in this situation, in my work, in my marriage, in my home, my family situation, in my life, whatever it is. God says it. It can be real if we take it on board. Let me just finish reading that again. I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. It's him. It's all him. All of it is him. Okay, one more verse. And my God will liberally supply, fill to the full your every need according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. That's yours. That's mine. Now, as the mask is coming off, that is for us now. What are you needing this morning? Some of you really are needing something from God this morning. Some of you in here with absolutely broken, smashed up, wrecked lives. And you need God to come and change them because he is the only person who can. You've tried everything else. Nothing else has really worked. Whatever you're doing now, you'll be going back to it again. Jesus Christ is the only answer. The power of the blood of Jesus will break whatever holds you this morning. Church, non-church, believer, non-believer. The power of Jesus Christ will do that this morning for you. Okay. Who wants a life of freedom? Yeah, there's a few of you do. Okay, all right. We'll try that again. Who wants a life of freedom? Praise God. Amen. Dan does. That's good. Yeah, it's getting on. It's nearly lunchtime. We're going to stop.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.